Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger.
Gentlemen, welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. Our air date of this episode is January 22nd, 2019. Tonight's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is executive extortion and hypocrisy. So tonight we are having an impromptu open mic, uncensored discussion tonight from the general public about of what's going on and about the hypocrisy of the Trump administration shutting down the government, the 800,000 plus federal employees who are not getting paid, who are not receiving no paychecks, expenses are constantly going up, no income is coming in, so you're definitely on a sliding scale for a disaster right there. We're also going to speak about this redundancy, about this wall that he's talking about that he wants to get built and what have you. But first, we want to give a shout out there to all the RBGs up there in the Pacific Northwest, definitely the Black Eye Stand, Radio Liberation Minded Media, also to New Era Milwaukee, New Era Chicago, New Era Detroit, at the great work of what they're doing. So, ladies and gentlemen, please give us a call here at area code 646-564-9630 with your comments, questions, and concerns about these contemporary times with the Trump regime. Also, too, we're going to pay homage and pay respect to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It was his birthday recently. In addition to, there's been some comments about Dr. King in regard to the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. So if anybody's got any comments on that, definitely give us your input. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States has committed extortion of the general public by shutting down the governmental agencies that provide jobs, health and welfare of the nation, whether directly or indirectly through contractors or what have you, or those who are working for the government downright. Also, too, from what I understand, there are even those in the Secret Service that are not being paid. I believe that the former President George H.W. Bush is buying pizza for his Secret Service detail. The Coast Guard, from what I understand, you know, they're not receiving any payments as well, too. So I see we got some callers in, you know, from the 443 area code, 240314 and 818 area code. We're going to have you all on shortly, and thank you so very, very much for joining us again. Okay, first of all, we want to give a shout out there to our producer, the one and only Mad Dr. D, who is in Southern California, and also, too, want to shout out to our feature commentator and associate producer, DeMacy. Are you there, DeMacy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so how are you doing this evening, and how's everything over there on the East Coast?
Well, everything is cold. You know, it's a little snow here and there. But I'm doing okay.
Okay, good. Okay, and also, too, I see we got our feature commentator, the one and only Mr. Isaiah there from Baltimore, Maryland. How you doing this evening, Isaiah? How are you? How's life treating you?
Hey, what's up, family? I'm good. I'm in the house being warm. It's ridiculous cold outside.
Yes, yeah, without a doubt. Now, also, too, the reason why we're having this episode, because we tried to air it last week at our usual time on our doubleheader that we did last Tuesday of our second part that we did on Homecoming 2019, and we're going to be speaking with that about that a little bit later on in the podcast tonight, and that there is brought to you by Exotic Travels Architects. But also, too, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to recognize as the people that finally, with the hypocrisy that's going on with white America, rather it's just white supremacy, its agenda, its alternative agenda, or what have you, it's time for us, more so in history now, to take care of ourselves economically, politically, commercially, and educationally. We must get our children up out of these public indoctrination systems, because look at this redundancy that's currently going on here, you know, with this quote-unquote chief executive that you have in office right there. And then not to mention the fact that the hypocrisy that's going on with it, plus that what we're seeing here in mainstream media, whatnot, about the, who's his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who is coming up here making these half-truths, fake news, what have you, about that regime didn't know nothing about any contacts with the Russians or whatever type of nonsense that they got going on, but it's redundant.
He knew.
Yeah, it really
like
is.
He knew.
Yeah.
Like he knew what's going on.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, without a doubt. But also, too, we have to look at the vital public services that are being closed down and the chain reaction that this is causing in the community, and particularly in the melanated community, because you do have a lot of our people that do work in a governmental sector of jobs. So, therefore, what's happening is they're not receiving a paycheck, so they're not paying bills. So you're causing a chain reaction in that. The bills that they're paying to, you know, they provide jobs to other people as well, too. They're not receiving revenue from there, so therefore that causes their revenue to be short. So basically, well, what this individual has done through extortion, from what I understand, since he cannot get his way with those in Congress, he has effectively has shut down the government. Now, in my opinion, that there is a threat to national security, and what he talks about what these immigrants are. Yeah, see, and this is why, you know, he's closing down, restricting the border, and what have you. But also, too, I see we got a caller here out of the 818 area code with the last 46603. We're going to bid you a good evening. How you doing this evening? And welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience in Hand.
In the air.
Hi, Shabaka and commentators. This is Gail Gentry from Exotic Travel Architects dialing in.
Oh, okay.
On the latest shenanigans with the commander in chief, Mr. Donald Trump.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, not only, I mean, you brought up the, you know, the thing about, you know, workers not being paid. And you mentioned the Secret Service. The Secret Service, one of the responsibilities of the Secret Service is to protect the president and actually take a bullet for the president if need be. And he's not even paying these guys. And, you know, some people have brought up, you know, different, folks out, you know, general public, like, oh, well, you know, these guys will be, you know, get retro pay when the government opens back up. But in the meantime, you know, you could be in the foreclosure line waiting for, you know, the government to open back up and get, you know,
Absolutely.
Your paycheck. You still got to send the kids to school. You still got to eat. You still got to, you know, pay bills. And as you said at the top of the conversation, you know, economic independence is paramount because, you know, if they had a plan B, if they had another source of income, you know, this wouldn't be as devastating as it possibly could be. And the dependent and personal is to not depend on the government for anything, period, in the conversation.
Absolutely. It's because economically, and you're absolutely right about that, Gail, is because, see, this is why we need our own economical infrastructures, building our own businesses. And if we cannot build up our own businesses or trade names outright, at least we could start some type of franchises and perhaps parlay that, you know, with passing down of generational wealth to building up our own infrastructures and what have you. And also, too, we're going to have we got a guest, a caller in tonight, who's going to be mentioning something in regard to about that, and we'll be bringing him in very, very shortly. But I see, too, we got a call in here from Southern California here at the 626 area code, and I think I know who that is. Is that there you, man, Dr. D? Is that Dr. D out the 626 area code?
Oh, yes. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, hello. What's going on with you there, man, Dr. D? Thank you for joining us. And that there is our producers, ladies and gentlemen, of the Bacchus Black Experience in Hands. The one and only Mad Dr. D. So what's on your mind tonight, Mad Dr. D, coming to us from Southern California?
A couple issues. First of all, before I like to give a because yesterday was Martin Luther King Day, so you know we got to give this man his poppers, you know, because he stood and he gave his life to a cause, a black cause. And so he gave a lot of people what to do. Put it that way, you know. And you know what? And several celebrate Christmas, and they'll celebrate. They make a big deal about that. You know what I mean? And they'll celebrate Thanksgiving. And Valentine's Day, all this kind of bullshit. You know what I mean? But I don't remember anybody giving up their life and stood that we had to do what he had to do, and the blacks had to go through behind our Thanksgiving or for Christmas. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I mean,
and most definitely. And then also, too, Mad Dr. D, not only do we want to pay respect and remembrance to Dr. King, but from what I understand, Mike Pence, Trump's subordinate and crony, the vice president, was up here trying to compare Donald Trump to Martin Luther King, and that there is downright a slap in the face to us, and actually it's a downright insult to my intelligence when we look at the redundancy of what Trump is doing. And then also, too, even those who originally voted for him are having second thoughts about him. And then, too, with him shutting down the government, you say, just goes to show pretty much, and I'm speaking of us in particular. And I'm speaking of us in particular as the people, because we don't control no infrastructures. You know, when Dr. King was talking about the including into the mainstream society and what have you, we don't control none of our educational institutions. We don't control none of our business institutions. We barely control, to a small point, political institutions. But they have been so whitewashed because you could just simply just look at these black politicians that you have up here. They're still going after an illusion of inclusion when it downright proves just like 2 + 2 = 4 in this war part of the galaxy that we got to take care and do for ourselves. I mean, here the President of the United States has sworn to give everybody equal protection under the law, and then with his extortionary tactics, he's in violation of that right there. Go ahead, Mad Dr. D, and then we're going to turn it on over to our associate producer, the one and only Mr. Macy. And then we're going to get back to Gail.
Okay, now, well, what I was saying is, we go on one point, and we didn't even finish that one point. You know, then we took off to Trump and the government and all that. You know what I mean? We all know, you know, let's get King his powers first. You know what I mean? Fuck Trump. You know what I mean? We all know that he can't get up in there and get in our world. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's exactly what he wanted to do.
Right.
See, now we talking about, we give this man his propers, but yet we end up talking about him. You see me? So that means he infiltrated in our world.
Yep.
Just that easy. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
We have to give King his propers and a big and a black that had
oh,
to be
absolutely.
Tortured that day. The whole way, my daughter. Let's get the propers. No.
Yeah.
That
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
No, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I most definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah.
And
so
then the sad part about it is that the hypocrisy of it is how Pence is going to go up here and compare Trump, you know,
Trump
to Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah,
yo.
You see, now, but also, too, but I just want to say, for our youth, what has happened is that.
See, there's a whole thing.
I had to laugh about that.
Go ahead, he's teasing that. Don't give him his offers when we give other people ours. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, if anybody disagrees with me, you want to say that. But what I'm saying is, like, this man did something that all that Trump did was we were doing that. I don't know, but who cares? We'll get to him later. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the point I was gonna say about that. You know what I mean, man? Hey,
okay.
You know what I mean? Personally, of course, back in the '60s and seventies, that was some rough times. You know what I mean? You know, that was you think was rough now. It was really rough then. You know, and then
right.
The man caught a bullet.
Exactly.
You know, that man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right there.
Okay, but okay, moving right along here, man, Dr. D. Okay, I see we got a caller here, I believe about the St. Louis area, you know, with the area code 314. And we're going to reach out to them with the last 49557. Wishing you a good evening here from the West Coast on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing
fine.
This is Brother Robert, 118.
Yes,
hello, everybody. How you doing?
Doing great. Can you hear me good?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Sir.
But
yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm doing fine. I hope you all are doing as well also.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, welcome
okay.
to the show. We have any comments on what we're making up right now?
No, I don't have. I'm just listening to the show, brother. Just checking you guys out. Yeah, just paying attention, and I definitely I'm not a Trump supporter, I don't have much to really speak on Donald Trump. You know, my whole piece
right.
with all this happening in government is, you know, as you
yes,
said,
sir.
Brother Shabaka, that we must do something for ourselves.
Absolutely,
right.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, you see, yeah, and also too, commerce-wise, business-wise, and educational-wise as well, too, is because, see, this is all what everybody else is doing. But a thing, though, too, that I want to reply on these contemporary times, when Dr. King was assassinated, that day was at the height of the Black Liberation Movement, which was in the year 1968. And when you have another group of people who can control your housing, who can control your commerce, who can control your infrastructures and what have you, that is pretty much like where you're a puppet on puppet strings, you know, pretty much just like a slave. And so what we as a people is that we're going to have to start an evolutionary process and a progression of becoming economically independent, economically interdependent, because our own survival depends on it. And you are right about that there too, man, Dr. D, about paying homage to Reverend King, is because he did make the ultimate sacrifice, you know what I mean? And then, of course, you know that there were a lot of those in the Black Liberation Movement as well, too, that made the ultimate sacrifice as well. So therefore, so paying homage to our ancestors for those before us, we simply have to look at these times and remember the past lessons that they had passed on down to us. Now, we as a people are the only one from my witnessing of being here, you know, for the excess of 50 rotation, is that every other group of people is conscious about preserving their culture, their family, their businesses, and their legacy. As I noticed that what I'm seeing here, you know, in regard to the Trump regime's actions in regard to quote-unquote minorities and whatnot, and then I'm seeing here in mainstream media of all these Black politicians and newscasters talking about, well, you know, we need to impeach him and all this old type of business, which is, yeah, great, beautiful, too. But what are these same Black politicians and commentators are saying and addressing in regard to us getting our own economical self-sufficiency? They're not saying nothing or extremely very, very little. Yeah, go ahead, man, Dr. D.
What do you think about Kamala Harris running for president?
Okay, well, Kamala Harris is the current United States Senator from California. She used to be the Attorney General of California. And from what I understand, before she became the Attorney General of California, she was the District Attorney for San Francisco County. So I would have to do some more research on Mrs. Harris, you know, to voice any opinion on that. But as I stated, you know, previously on previous podcasts, I honestly believe with as far as using the voting process, and not just, of course, is at the local level, but I mainly speak it on the federal level, is that is pretty much played out. But I think that on the local level, we could still, yeah, go ahead, man, Dr. D.
Well, she said she's going to run for president.
Right.
And so the whole thing, now the point with that is now here we go again. We had the Blacks, people trying to get into a position of power, and the Black
right.
woman on top of that. Now, how many of us you think are going to point for her? Huh?
Man, Dr. D, okay, yeah, man, you sound far away, man. You got to adjust your microphone a little bit.
How many people you think will vote for her? Because once again, instead of trying to, and Blacks were trying to find all of her faults, as opposed to a positive thing, because even though she might not be the best, but she's damn sure she ain't better than what we got, number one. You know, number two, she's black. Number three, she's a female. You know what I mean? And I say that the average Black will not vote for her. Yeah, and that's why we don't have anything, because we don't stick together. Yeah.
Okay, well, see, that's just it, though, Mad Dr. D. Okay, if you got economical cohesiveness, okay, you could buy the political cohesiveness, is because you see, you know, you cannot do nothing on these political campaigns or with these politicians unless you got some type of revenue and or sources of revenue and income streams to make something happen. And that's another reason why we emphasize here, you know, of us doing for ourselves economically, is because everything else politically and educationally will come as a chain reaction off of that is because, you see, look how they got our children going to the government indoctrination centers, but yet those black politicians do not address, you know, the social ills that affect black children in these public indoctrination centers. And then just like it's you and I commented too, Mad Dr. D, of how this here adds to the inmate population. And as we said on the previous podcast,
they don't even address that evil. They don't address that evil, Brother Shabaka. They don't address the mass incarceration.
Yeah, you're
right about that. So you need to watch that movie, The 13th. You need to watch that movie, The 13th, by Ava I can't pronounce her last name. You need to watch that movie, The 13th, because she goes into it, and The 13th is about the 13th Amendment. And The 13th Amendment, as you guys know, abolished slavery. However, it says that you can be enslaved. I'm paraphrasing. This is the exact wording. It says you can be enslaved if you commit a crime. So that, you know, is the buzz. So all this criminalization is really to reinstitute slavery, but in a different method. And she goes into the movie.
Well, that's
she
what the prison industrial complex
thoroughly.
Is about.
Hold on. Let me finish. She goes into it very thoroughly from the day of the abolishment of slavery, with the 13th Amendment up until today, how various groups are criminalized and, you know, to be marginalized and to be set aside and to be the undesirables within the society, namely black men, you know, to criminalize black men,
of course,
criminalize brown men and all this stuff, because the 13th Amendment says that you could basically be enslaved if you're a criminal. If you're in prison, you can be enslaved. You can work. You can be free labor. So it's just a rearrangement of institutions to now take you from the plantation to take you to the prison plantation, so you can be enslaved. I mean, most black men, just the people on this phone call. I know Mad Dr. D. I know you, Shabaka, you know, personally. I mean, we know a number of people that, you know, are either in prison or on parole, you know, likelihood of them ever getting off, you know what I mean? And it's you know, and watching that movie was just like, wow. And so, you know, to act like black people can just turn around when you have institutionalized psychological slavery from day one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that needs to be addressed. Hell, all of us need to be in a freaking, you know, getting counseling, okay, to deal with the psychological ramifications of being here in this country and trying to play it off like everything's everything. I know I do. I just be trying to play it off. Everything's everything. Because when you think about all of that stuff, one, you get enraged. Two, you realize you can't do nothing about it. And three, you feel disempowered. You don't feel empowered. You feel disempowered. So, to me, the solution is, one, forget white folks. Who cares what they're doing or not doing? Two, work with each other and empower each other, forgetting about white people and what they're doing. I mean, you look at, you know, some of you guys may disagree. You look at Barack Obama. You look at Oprah Winfrey. And when you, and even Dr. King, when you look at some of the stuff that they've done, those guys are subversive. Serious. Subversive, okay? When you like look, you're like, wow, you know, look what they're really doing. I mean, look at Oprah. She got her own network, and all of the shows on her network are all black shows with predominantly black cast. Yet white folks love Oprah. Now, is Oprah overtly about black people? No. So I suggest my position is, you know, quit talking about it, be about it, number one. Number two is don't alert the enemy. You know, it's a book that Toni Morrison wrote. She won a Nobel Prize for a book called Beloved. And there's this one line in the book. She talks about the book is about, you know, the end of slavery and people, you know, trying to find their family members and stuff like that. And she says they all go to Ohio. There's this one line in the book that she says, white folks are on the loose. Okay, and it's true. You know what I'm saying? White folks are all the loose. And so here we talk about this whole stupid wall situation. Donald Trump is criminalizing, you know, people from south of the border now. You do the statistics, you do the fact-finding, and you discover that most immigrants to the United States, legal or illegal, come on a plane, not across the southern border. That's number one. Number two, he criminalizes these folks, calls them rapists, calls them drug dealers, calls them Why is that? So people will be against, oh, we need to have a ball. It's a crisis going on. Now, there's some of us on this call that live in a border state. I live in a border state. What crisis? There ain't no crisis, dub it off. You know, as a result of Bill Clinton's NAFTA, a lot of Mexicans are staying home because they have the economic structure that they need to stay home. They come here to get work.
Boy, see, that's just it, though, Gil. That's precisely my point. Right, that's precisely my point.
And about that, hold on, if you really want to do something about that, then prosecute these employers that are hiring these undocumented workers. No work, they'll stop coming.
Donald Trump is one of them. No, but Donald Trump is one of them bastards that's hiring illegal workers.
All of us are one of them. Yeah. I mean, all of us are one of them. So all of us have used, to some degree, you know, undocumented workers for various, you know, things, either as a housekeeper or day laborer, you know, whatever. But my point is that this whole wall thing is to rally his supporters that are definitely, you know, the mental brain dead for sure. I mean, these guys.
Oh, well, that's why we
so
created the hashtag resurrection of the mental dead. That's just for that reason,
yeah,
there, Gail, is why the hashtag resurrection
of
the mental dead was created. But I'm sorry, go ahead and talk, Gail. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, so it's like all this stuff going on. So to think that there is a simple fix, not suggesting that you guys are saying this, but to think that there is a simple fix to just, oh, we just need to do this with, you know, financially, da da da. First off, we need to be psychologically transformed. And
no,
my, you know, and I said
that's
on this show a couple
the
times.
Hashtag resurrection of the mental dead. That's
right,
exactly
but how we
resurrect the
mental dead? You got the hashtag, but how do you do it? So what I suggest is, one, you need to go back to Africa. You need to connect
exactly
with who you are and what you about. That's number one.
Absolutely.
That should be paramount.
Most
of
the concept
of
Sankofa,
so,
going back to tradition, is the first step forward. Yes, you are correct.
Well,
go ahead.
You know, but all of that, you know, all of that, not only go back to, you know, Sankofa and all that's great and fine and dandy, but let's just be real about it. We're westernized. We
yep
may call ourselves Africans, but this is as foreign can be because we are so westernized. Let's just do it, be honest, okay? That's the real deal. So going
mm-hmm
back there, seeing black people, you know,
yep,
in power, seeing black people, you know, with you know, traditions, and you wondering why you do certain things and why you talk to men the way you talk to men and talk to women the way you talk to women, why you dress a certain way, why you dance, why you do whatever, and you go back, you know, to your homeland and you discover, hey, this is where the connection was lost. And as a result of that, and I'll just speak on this real quick, you know what's that show, Finding Your Roots, with Henry Gates Jr.? He's a historian from, you know, Harvard University, and he does a show called Finding Your Roots. And he had Michael Williams on the show the last week. Michael Williams, the guy that played Omar in The Wire, hell of an actor. He played Tommy White in, you know, Boardwalk. You too could act as...
Yep.
Anyway, Tommy White, come to find out, I said this last week, come to find out, Tommy White, Michael Williams' family has been in the United States, you know, for at least 300 years. He was able to trace it back like 200 years, right? And they live within the same confines of about 100-mile radius, the whole 200 years. And what he said, man, you know, just knowing this, I feel, you know, whole, I feel complete. So that's the reason why we need to go back to Africa so we can get our psychological stuff. I do not agree with, hey, let's just go back to Africa and forget it. No, black people helped build this country too, okay? Straight up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
So, hey,
well, that's what the reparations is all about. You see what I'm saying?
You know.
You say that's
well,
what the reparations is all about.
Reparations or no reparations, the reality is that we helped build this country too. And so, you know, it's this
well,
whole idea that the, you know, the industrialists of the, you know, of the we called it industrial revolution built the country. No, black people built this country too. You know, so we
oh,
have
absolutely
a stake in it as well. But we need to be, you know, psychological stuff needs to be dealt with before we can even deal with, you know, creating our own infrastructure, creating our own financial structures and stuff like that. And why is
absolutely
that? Because you talk to some black people, and the first thing they want to tell you is that, who they related to that's other than black. Oh, you know, my mother was you know, my great grandmother was an English woman, and you know, my step grandmother, you know, was a Irish person. You know, I want to be something other than black. And what does that say? That there's some self hatred going on that's been indoctrinated and been driven into us as, you know, as black people since the day we stepped off that first slave ship. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
And it
yeah,
continues to this
me.
Day.
Oh,
so,
yeah, you're absolutely correct
about
that.
Things, you got to talk about, you know, the psychological stuff. I think personally that that's paramount and the first step before we, you know, to be able to do the financial stuff, to be able to do the infrastructure stuff, because what a lot of us do is spend way too much time trying to prove to white people that we're good enough. Who gives a, I was getting ready to use some really foul language. You know what I'm saying? Who cares what they think or don't
yeah.
think? We spend way too much time thinking about white people. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. You see?
Thank you.
And then also, too, you know, is that the Black Panther Party, you know, if you check out some of their 10-point programs and some of the issues of which they were addressing, you know, education of self was one of them. You see, it's because when you send your child to your oppressor to be educated, you see, Malcolm X said that only a fool would do that. But quite naturally, of course, we know what the underlying purpose of it is to keep the child indoctrinated and keep his African culture, as you're pretty much saying, subservient to that of the Eurocentric dominated culture. You see, like Dr. Carter G. Woodson and Chancellor Williams and Dr. Amos Williams have said in their works, and Professor George G. M. James, is that they don't want you having knowledge of yourself, and it's very essential for you to have knowledge of yourself. It's because, once again, it's just like going to plantation system. See, the slave only knew what master taught him. See, master teach, sit up there, teach you any damn thing. You know, the kind of man of what you're trying to do. This is why they did not want the slave to read. Because once he starts reading, he starts thinking. Once he starts reading and realizes that 2 + 2 = 4, he starts realizing his condition. When he starts realizing his condition, he starts rebelling. Now, you see, ladies and gentlemen, black liberation did not start with Mr. Garvey. Did not start with the Black Panther Party. Did not start with the NOI. It did not start with the Deacons of Defense Black Militants. It started when the first slave got upset about his condition and did something about it, like Senkew. You see what I'm saying? Like Nat Turner. And quite naturally, of course, this is the mindset that they don't want us to transcend down to our youth for them to preserve themselves. You see what I'm saying? And to progress for themselves. But however, we all know the universal laws and principles of land, labor, capital, and risk management, which are economical principles, and we need to flex our economical powers, because every group of people come here to the United States, they're setting up businesses in our community, draining our community of our own revenue and our own money. So what we have to do is start developing some businesses to put our own people to work, number one, plus giving us a sense of accomplishment.
But those people don't have the psychological slavery going on. Those people do not have the psychological slavery going on. That's the big difference.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah, yeah, that's a major difference right there. And then, too, and then one of the things here that was in the literature of the Black Panther Party 50 years ago is what we believe, point number 5. We believe in an educational system that will give our people a knowledge of self. Now, get this, if a man and or woman does not have knowledge of him or herself and his or her position in society and the world, then he has little chance to relate to anything else. And a classic case that proves this point is when we witness the dumbing down and the degradation of the value system of our young black men from the 1970s up to these contemporary times. I mean, serious. You know, look at your rap music. Look at the value system.
Everything that anybody was saying, all said well said, you know, because everybody's very, very intelligent. And I appreciate every your comments you said, and everything you said is right. You know, and the thing about it is, and the reason why I have brought up Kamala Harris, and the simple thing is, But not just because that she's running for president, you know what I mean? But somebody trying to get into a position of power, you know what I mean? And what I'm saying is we need to band together and support her.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. All right, man, Dr. D, that's cool. You're talking about cohesiveness. Yeah, that's beautiful. Absolutely. It's got to start somewhere. Even when you mix cement together with water, you got to put something in there for it to stick together. Ain't that what they call mortar? Now, if I got
that's
my
right.
cement trades
yeah.
right.
And
yeah, you see? So, yeah, so you got to start somewhere. But as
right,
Miguel has pointed out, though,
our downfall is like I always say, if we don't band together, other races does, but it's the only race that does it. And that's why
right,
we're where we're at. Yeah, that's why we're where we're at, and they're where they are. You know what I mean? And, I mean, if you notice the average Mexican household, there are 50 people in that house. They don't fight each other. They keep put their money together. They got new cars.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's called cooperative economics. They build businesses,
yeah,
put their kids
Mexicans,
to work, put their brothers to work.
The Mexicans
and
are the
know.
New niggas. Let's just be real about it.
What?
Okay, the Mexicans are what?
Are the new niggas.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Wow.
I mean, straight up.
Okay,
I mean,
well,
that,
we
I mean,
try
to.
Okay, well, we're trying to minimize that term here, Shabaka's black experience, but however, we do see your point. Okay, I see we got a caller here out of the 360 area code with the last 40378. Hey, good evening to you. I'd like to welcome you to Shabaka's black experience. Where, who we're speaking with and where you calling from?
Where you calling? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello, caller.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, we'll get back with him. You know, we definitely appreciate him, you know, calling in and joining the show. Yes, say okay, but also, too, we're going to hear from Brother Robert X, you know, out of St. Louis, and we're going to turn it over to a little bit of the business aspect of it. Okay, Brother Robert, are you there, sir, from the STL? We're going to talk about the business opportunity and what we need to do to get some economical cohesiveness and putting our own people back to work.
Real estate. Go ahead. I say real estate. When you have some land, you got it. As long as you hang out, because you got to have somewhere to stay. And, you know, and you have something to work with, to bargain with, and as long as you have, you have in a position where you can actually bargain and you can. How can I put this delicately? You run your shit. You know what I mean? Get the real estate. You know, because there's plenty out there. You know, and then start some of the people who can't afford
Dr. D. Okay, see, yeah, you're right about the real estate is because, see, land is definitely a factor of production. Rather if you're manufacturing something, rather if you're servicing something, rather if you have a location, or rather if you're going door-to-door, land is definitely a factor of production. So, yeah, real estate, you know, is a definite good investment as well, too. But also, too, but what I want to emphasize on some of the black business ventures out there, also, too, some of the black entrepreneurs out there that's got anything, you know, to enhance our economical development, you know, by all means, you know, they're more than welcome to give us a call here at 646-562-9630 and join in on the conversation. And the reason why we're bringing this up is because we also got to look back throughout the history of the United States of a lot of black entrepreneurs, innovators, and inventors whose work had changed the economy of the United States, plus gave it progress in regard to the mechanics, the arts, and the sciences as well, too. And a lot of our people have been exploited about it, their rightful rights for that as well, too. And one of them is a guy by the name of D. Garrett Morgan. He's the one that brought you the stoplight. He's also the one that brought you the gas mask as well, too. And then as Gail was pointing out, and also, too, Gail, what is that there that you got going on, Exotic Travels Architects, I believe?
Yes, uh-huh.
Tell our listeners about that.
So I love to travel, and so I have a travel agency to take you anywhere in the world that you want to go. I specialize in exotic travel. Translation is non-white location. And, you know, they call that exotic.
Yep.
But also, you know, treat people to Europe and stuff like that. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not going to, you know, discriminate, you know, it depends on where you want to go. I also organize groups and stuff like that. Like, I got a group going to Cuba on a cruise. I got a group going to Mediterranean, which is basically Europe. And I got a group going to, and I discussed it on this show, a group going to, you know, Homecoming 2019. You know, connect with your ancestral past, you know, and it's designed for black people, you know, to make that connection because, you know, all of these different things that we're talking about here on the show are great, but, you know, it's like Harriet Tubman said, I would have freed a lot more slaves if they'd known they were slaves, okay? So a lot of people in our community don't even know that they're part of the mental brain dead. You know what I'm saying? And, they don't even know.
We created the hashtag resurrection of the mental dead.
But again, it's like, okay, it's great to have the hashtag, you know, and all that, you know, and have stuff underneath the hashtag, but it's like, okay, what are we going to do about it? You know what I mean?
Okay,
we can talk
to plenty under that hashtag. Go to it and drop knowledge. And definitely check out our group by the same name, Resurrection of the Mental Dead, and it's self-explanatory.
Right.
Go in there, drop knowledge, make progress on the sciences,
on business,
innovate.
But let me just say, knowledge is great. You know, you hear people say, knowledge is power. No, the implementation of knowledge is power.
That's right.
And take action upon, you know, said knowledge. And first act is to, you know, connect with who you are. Be confident in who you are. Because, I mean, you know, you take a serious, you know, psychological beat down in these here United States, you know, as black people. And, you know, and it gets more subtle and more subtle as the years go on, you know, with different things that take place. You know, I watched that movie, you know, The 13th. It's actually a documentary about the 13th Amendment, and she lays it all out. You know, she had people from the right and the left talking about it, black, white, you know, Latino, you know, and being straight up about, you know, what was going on. I mean, Newt Gingrich even pointing out how blacks have been marginalized since day one and continue to be marginalized, you know. So I think, you know, and I'm going to say it, you know, again, you know, it's the psychological stuff that needs to be dealt with before you know, the institutional stuff, because it'll be a handful of people that will do some things institutional-wise, but not to the level of, like, the Koreans or to the level of the Chinese or to the, you know, different people in this country, to the level of the Irish or, you know, the Italians or, you know, to that level because, like you guys said, you know, hey, you know, they're more cohesive, they support each other, and we don't. And why is that? Because we've been indoctrinated to not support each other. We've been told to not support each other. We've been told to not support each other financially. And a lot of it, and this is, it's deeply ingrained. So even though you can say, hey, you know what, I trust the brother, I trust that sister, you know, do you really? You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, are you really, you know, we talked about this last show. You know, it's like, okay, if you say you're going to start a beauty salon and you say, hey, Gail, I need $1,000 to help me start my salon, you know, if you went to a Korean person, they have a pool, right? We don't have pools, number one. Number two, it's like, girl, you better get, you know, you better find that money from somewhere else, you know, or, you know, one of the other things that we tend to do is I want you to give me your services for free, but I want to charge you three times as much as what the going market is. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's a lot of stuff that's happening that needs to be dealt with, and just having, you know, knowledge is great, but are you implementing that knowledge to the, you know, to the betterment of the community, self, et cetera. Back to you, Shabaka.
Okay, well, you're absolutely right on what you're saying on that there too, Gail. But see, but once again, though, is that we got to look at the public indoctrination centers, like what Dr. Carter G. Woodson has mentioned in his book, The Miseducation of the Negro, see, is because we were taught and dumbed down, you know, to sympathize with every other group, to implement every other group, but still we are taught to hate and despise, you know, the Africans, of which, you know, which we are descendants of, and which was one of the greatest films that ever depicted that was two films called Imitation of Life, which was one of them. And then another film was another one they made in 1945 called Home of the Brave, where the black actor by the name of James Edwards is portraying a soldier in World War II with these white soldiers who degrade him, disrespect him, use all kind of racial epithets on him. And then there's a scene in the film of where he's sitting down there crying, and he's crying not so much because they had called him all these foul names, mistreated him, he was crying because he was not white, you see. And then keep in mind, when you speak of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, you have to look at what the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court had said in 1855 or 56 in regards to the Dred Scott case. People of African descent were never intended, and could not ever be, citizens or receive benefits of the U.S. Constitution. So therefore, with them ruling on that, they could make all the damn amendments they want to, but it was never intended for you to benefit from. And another thing is when you look at your Declaration of Independence, about when the government goes in shambles, the people have a right to go out there to change it and whatnot, you know. But when black people try to do that, to exercise their constitutional rights to form a militia, they're referred to as terrorists, you see. So you got to look at the hypocrisy on that. But what we're going to do is we're going to turn it over there to Brother Robert X. Are you still with us there, Brother Robert X from St. Louis? But what we want to do too here too, ladies and gentlemen, is mention on that is go check out my like page, is because there's a ride share opportunity program, you know, that I've recently became a part of, and definitely check it out and shoot me a link to it, to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Not shoot me a link, but shoot me a message, and I will send you the link to this ride share opportunity that is supposed to revolutionize the ride share industry, you know, in a great way. And definitely get in contact with us right there. And also, we are definitely about, you know, promoting black businesses and opportunities for community events. And then also to our guest caller tonight, the one and only Gail with Exotic Travels. She did a couple of excellent shows on our podcast in regard to homecoming 2019 return to Ghana. And on the 29th, on our next show, we'll be talking more about that. In addition to, we'll be placing more emphasis on going back to traditions and to help correct, you know, some of these mindset issues that we have, the psychological issues, sociological issues that we have. Also, too, there, we're going to, you know, talk to our associate producer there, the one and only Ms. DeMacy. Are you there, Ms. DeMacy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so what do you think about all this here that's going on by our guests tonight that they had mentioned?
Well, what I really want to do is get started. But we talk a lot about, you know, what we want to do and how we can do it, and I want to get started.
Nice. So we just have to start networking.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do we do that, and what emphasis are we placing things on?
Well, first of all, you got to have a plan. You have to have a, you got to have a goal. You have to have
right.
a you have to have mm-hmm. you got to have a target. You know, in other words, I don't say we're gonna make some money, but how? Okay, by what? By picking up cans? Do you want to own a business? What kind of business? You know, all those questions come to play. And then you have to draw your so you gotta sit down and get yourself a format. You have to get yourself a whole plan. You know, within yourself mm-hmm. first. You know what I mean? You
mm-hmm.
can't throw something out there and then something will happen. You know what I mean? Because that's
okay.
all it is.
Dr. Davis, but you got to get out there and you got to get some boots on the ground, man, and lead by example. You know what I'm saying? It's because they even said it 50 years ago. Observation and participation, man, equals results. It's because we got it bad. Inaction and inertia, you know, us as a people. And which I can appreciate, you know, why there's a lot of skepticism out there, particularly when it comes to us. But then, as our guest host of last week's show has stated, is that it's the mindset that has got to be dealt with. Plus, we got to make that, you know, ancestral reconnection. And even Dr. Marimba Ani had stated in her works is that the reconnection is going to be painful. And then as our guest host has pointed out is that there are a lot of painful elements that have to be dealt with, you know, subjects that we talked about on previous podcasts, you know, the so-called black-on-black slavery, this business about the 13th Amendment. And Lord knows we got to talk about the chicken peck and Uncle Tom sitting down there begging for a lunch down there at a cup of coffee. We got to talk about these bought-off-ass politicians that sell us down the tubes, just like what the black politicians did in Compton, California in the 1990s. You know, the mayor, the council members who were all black, and they were taking bribes and kickbacks from aluminum manufacturing companies to use, you know, the industrial areas of Compton, California's toxic waste dumps. And this is with high black constituencies with black politicians. You see, so, you know, we have to address those issues as well, too, before we have any type of cohesive, you see. When we look at the mindset of guys like Kanye West, Kevin Hart, you know, and these other people down there in Los Angeles, Southern California,
and
you know, wearing his dresses off in the movie.
Hollywood
is a section of the city of Los Angeles, you see, where they perpetuate that garbage and that nonsense, you see. And then, of course, let's look at the smearing of leading black actors that you had, you know, Bill Cosby, what they did to him,
a
couple of the athletes that they want to bring down, and then when a man like Colin Kaepernick, who wants to stand up here and use peaceful protest, you say about the police murdering us, then all of a sudden he's a bad guy and he gets ostracized, you know, from the NFL. So, but once we get us some economical power, then that deal we could buy the political power. You say. But we got to get up into a sense of a cohesiveness of ourselves. We got to come up out of the mindset of boss we sit. Just like what Minister Malcolm had said to us over 50 years ago, you had the field Negro and you had the house
Negro. The house
Negro is sitting up there more worried about master than himself, wearing master's clothes, eating master's leftover food and what have you. The house catch on fire. What's the matter, boss? Our house on fire. What's the matter, boss? We sick. To whereas the field Negro is sitting up there praying that that SOB died and that the damn house does burn down.
Right.
So we got to look at that. We got to look at the systematic torture and psychological savagery that was put down on us as a people, too. See, because what had happened is generation after generation, we've had all this hatred and from the abuse of the oppressor, but it's been internalized and we take it out on ourselves. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and there's been a lot of, you know, great works written on that. And that's why it's very, very important for us to get up here and to implement, you know, some type of opportunities for ourselves to put ourselves workers, because all we got is each other, black family. That's it.
Yep.
I have to be
there.
Bad news. That's it.
Each one.
That's all we got.
understand it. Yep.
Yeah, well,
each one is all we got, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and share knowledge and reach out to one another.
That's one
of them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then also, too, is that I want to comment, you know, on this 13th Amendment issue, what they're talking about, this prison industrial complex of slavery. Now, I can understand and appreciate what people of that position is coming from on that. But we do have to sit back and look at the special way that they treated us on this plantation system with the branding of the slaves, mm-hmm. the degradation of the slaves, the demasculization of the black male, what have you, the violation mm-hmm. of the black female and whatnot. You see what I mean? So we have to examine that because, you know, as our as Gail of Exotic Travel Architects pointed out, we got to look at that ingrained post-traumatic slave syndrome that has been passed on down us there from generation to generation, which gives us this inherent sense of lack of self-worth, makes us feel worthless, but yet though we sit up here and go idolize and admire everybody else. When they sit up there and hate us and spit on us, it's because they can't be like us.
Exactly. If they try and be like us, but it's not because it's not going to work. They try so hard, but it's not happening.
Yeah, you see. And then, of course, and then when you try to have intelligent conversations with those of other groups, you know, they come mm-hmm. up to you saying, I was
trying
to hide you're a black racist. First place,
we don't have no power. We can't control nothing.
Exactly.
We don't,
precisely.
If we don't control no laws, we don't control nothing.
Exactly.
And we do prejudge, but we are not racist, though. That's good, brother.
Exactly. Yes,
but
you're absolutely
ideas.
Correct. Because
you can control ideas,
go ahead, Gail.
Though. And the stuff starts with an idea. You know, as mm-hmm. Macy has said, let's get started. It's like, what are we going to do? You know, because we've been talking, I know this show has been going on for at least 2 years. What are we going to do now to
mm-hmm.
To turn things around? You know, and some of you may think, well, you know, I'm one person. What could I really do? You know, stuff starts with one person. I mean, let's look at Gandhi, for instance. You know, Gandhi said, you know what, I'm gonna be the change that I want to happen. And he changed the whole nation, and they called him a terrorist, you know, when he first got started with, freeing India from England.
Okay, but however,
you know,
let's point something out here about Gandhi, Gail. You know, recent research that I've done. Okay, Martin Luther King had patternized his method after Gandhi. Okay, Gandhi started his, what do they call that, passive nonviolence resistance in South Africa, but he was only interested about the rights of Indians in South Africa because Gandhi despised blacks and he himself referred to us as Catholics, you know, on the ancestral land as well, too. So as Mad Dr. D said, be sure to mention Martin Luther King for this day. Yeah, and Martin Luther King, Mad Dr. D, did patternize himself after Gandhi, but Gandhi did hate black people.
Your boy
Go ahead.
Was Indian.
Go ahead, Gail.
So he was concerned about Indians. All right?
Yeah,
so your boy was Indian. All right? So he was concerned
mm-hmm.
about his people. I mean, you know, the victor gets to write the history, okay? The person that wins gets to write the history.
Pretty much.
All right? So
yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Control that. So the deal of it is that, you know, as I said at the top of this conversation, we spend too much time worrying about other people. Let's do our own thing. You know, and so what are
Absolutely.
We going to do to help, you know, change the mindset of black people in mass so they can learn to trust each other and want to do business with each other. I mean, I know some of you on this phone have had a number of people, you know, say, oh, no, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't need to go to Africa. And like, what? You don't want to go where your people came from? Oh, you know,
right.
my people are that. Everything but black.
Yeah, we'll see.
You
well, see, that's
saying?
That
so,
ass-cracking
and
Yasha brain-dead BS right there.
Even if you mixed up and all that other stuff, you know, it's like, okay,
uh-huh.
you want to go to England, you want to go to Ireland, you want to, you know, because that's where predominantly, enslaved people came from. You want to go
mm-hmm.
to the Middle East, to the Holy Land, you know, but you don't
mm-hmm.
want to go to Africa?
Really?
Like,
you know, so, and let's keep in mind, too, the reason for the trip to, the reason for the trip to Ghana is because we came here as enslaved Africans, you know, the large number of us, we don't know what country we're from. And so we go to Ghana because that's where a large number of enslaved Africans came through the slave ports there in Ghana, you know, for West Africa. You know, so they may be from other parts, but predominantly, you know, people are going to have some sort of Ghanaian blood or whatever. And that's a place to start, you know, or even Nigeria. You know, come to find out there's a lot of black people here that originated from, you know, Nigeria and stuff. I mean, my cousin did an ancestry test on herself, and she's 49%, you know, European and 51% African. Part of it is Ghana, part of it 7% in Ghana. I think like 19% was Nigeria and another place, Gambia or someplace like that. I can't remember the other country. But, you know, you can start in Africa to make that trip. So it's like, you know, basically saying let's get started. Well, first, in my opinion, the first start is a trip to Africa to
right.
loose the binds of psychological yep. slavery where you're feeling like you're a savage. It's like, no, you're not a savage. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's like, yeah. As I said on one of the shows, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, Gambian slaves were imported to the Americas specifically because of their architectural ability. They were master architects of houses, you know, structures and stuff, and that's why they were imported specifically. I got this information. You guys gonna crack up. I got this information on a plantation tour in New Orleans from a white woman. That said that specifically brought here for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so my point is that I think that we should, you know, as part of the process is do a mass return to Africa so people, you know, Ghana in particular, so people, black people, can become whole and complete with who they are, get reconnect with that ancestry and return home confident, empowered. Now I believe I can do it. Now
right.
I know I'm not a savage.
Right.
Now I know
right.
that I am. I come from a real people. I know, you know, like you said, you know, I mean, there's some people, believe it or not, there's some people that believe that black history started here in the United States. It's like, what? The first man started in Africa. I mean, really? I mean, you guys are crazy. For real. Some people are just like, really? You do, huh? It's like our history didn't start when we got here. It kind of ended
know,
when
well,
we got
see,
here.
That's exactly
here.
My point.
Right, right.
No, well, see, that's precisely
exactly.
my point. You see, that's the resurrection of the myth of dead right there. You see?
Right, but
because
that is
you
my
should
point.
I say that we did not.
Back.
I said we did not start.
We already know about
wait,
the
yeah.
resurrection of the myth of dead. But what are we going to do besides just drop knowledge?
Okay, well, see, well first of all,
when we gonna start?
I said, time
okay,
for us to
well,
do.
See, first of all, okay, well, see, the first thing that
do?
Has to be emphasized is homeschooling. You know, it's get our kids about
and
these public indoctrination centers. You see, number one, then have some of our scholars, you know, and learn from our scholars like Chancellor Williams, Dr. Amos Wilson, Dr. Marimba Aini. You see what I'm saying? But the main thing is that we got to get our youth away from this social media prepackaged bullshit. Okay?
Well,
all this garbage that they're putting up there.
I think, you know, they should create their own stuff. You know,
oh, yeah,
I mean,
of course,
I don't
absolutely.
Think that we should. I don't think that we should separate ourselves, you know, from the larger society in the sense that you know we have this whole subculture going on. I think what we
mm-hmm.
need to do is, you know, have like a something going on within our own communities, and it's like you know, like a code language, so to speak. But then we deal with the
mm-hmm.
outside world too. I don't think that it makes sense to, you know, alienate ourselves, you know, from the larger world. I mean, let's just do it, be honest. Here in the United States, we make up 5% of the population. We got to deal with white folks.
Mm-hmm.
We got to deal with brown people. We got to deal with Asian people. I mean, brown and Asian
mm-hmm.
are going to take over the United States by the year 2050. It's projected. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be the predominant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's interesting,
mm-hmm.
you know, now that these numbers are starting to turn around, you hear different news reports, oh, the minority, you know, Chinese Americans, I'm just throwing out, you know, a particular group, are now the majority and blah, 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 their numbers out there. It's like, okay, then that means there's a majority now. They are not the minority, but they still, you know, these little cold languages that folks use. So I agree with you. You know, I have to re-indoctrinate, you know, in school, excuse me, in schools and stuff like that. But, excuse me, also have to encourage black men to participate in their family. I mean, let's just do a BS about that.
Absolutely, of course. Well, you see, now I'm glad you brought that up. This is why we emphasize in the entrepreneurship is because, see, the men folk of other groups, and I guess it's a universal law and principle where they pass on down to their sons certain trades, certain ideas, certain accomplishments, you know, assets, rather tangible or intangible, that they passed down. And Dr. Boris Watkins has been giving some excellent lectures on about generating generational wealth. It's because, see, with us, as that we go to school, get a good grade, get a diploma, you know, there's not even worth the paper that it is written on, go get a job working for somebody else. You see what I mean? Just like what Rutherford B. Hayes said at the Mohawk Conference in 1890 in regard to black educators and black education. The only thing the Negro needs to know how to do is just learn the concept of working, but never know innovation, never know ideas, you know, never know designing or engineering or what have you, just going out there working for somebody else. And then, of course, the black entrepreneurs who came about and had a lot of their ideas and patents stolen because with them being black, they couldn't get access, you know, to their patents. You see what I'm saying? And I'm particularly talking about at the time of the Industrial Revolution in the 19th century. You see, when the railroads were becoming real big, it's because they were a contributor of commerce and moving in shape of goods and durable goods and capital goods, you know, throughout the U.S., and throughout the world. The same thing with shipping. That's why with Marcus Garvey, you know, when he invented the Black Star Steamship Line to go back to Africa, he was talking about building banks. He was talking about building shipping industries, talking about developing commerce, just like when you look at the Black Wall Street. You see what I mean?
Listen.
On that.
Can I get in there?
Yeah, okay. You see, and then on.
As far as our homeschool is concerned.
Yeah, go ahead, man, Dr. D.
I really have to agree more with Gail on this because you have to learn how to be socialized. You have to socialize, number one. You know, you have to have social skills, number one. Number two, the average person, you know, especially black people, we're too busy working. You cannot sit there and teach a child if you have to work. Can you imagine running around for 5 or 6 years rather than you're trying to teach them some things that you don't even know? You know what I mean? You have to know what the white man knows. You know what I mean? And your only way to get that is to go to their school. You know what I mean? And then
Okay, well, I see your point on that there, man, Dr. D's, because you definitely, man, you got to know the ways of your enemy, man, you know, to defeat him. You're right about that. Yeah, see, that is a universal law and principle. But then, what Gail was pointing out, though, is to making a reconnection to your ancestral past. You see, that's very, very essential in your education as well. Too,
right,
because when you look at other cultures, is that they got these traditions and these mores, you know, which is society's norms and practices that they pass on down from generation to generation, where they have a sense of themselves. And a case of classic point that proves this is when I listen to this rap bullshit. You say it's because, you know, in these rap records, you know, you can refer to yourself in derogatory terms, calling your women all the B words and all that. You don't see other group of races doing that shit. Really, you don't. You don't see other races of people doing that.
All over the world. Hip hop is taking over the music industry like rock and roll did in the 50s. Hip hop is everywhere.
Right. I say hip hop is all over the world.
I'm a deep junkie myself, okay? I'm a gangster rap loving person. I'm just gonna tell you right now. just straight up, and that hip hop is around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to London.
Okay, but
hip-hop.
Now let me ask you this.
I've been to Italy and heard hip hop. I've been to Babylon and heard hip hop.
Yeah.
It's around the world.
But keep in mind is that these same groups of what you're talking about that you've seen around the world, and we know your world travel, but I've seen these other groups come up to me talking about my nigga, and I had to almost chin check them. Hey, man, check this out. Let me educate your ignorant ass on something. I'm not nobody's nigga. No. I'm not nobody's nigga, and they can kiss my ass with that shit.
Here's the subversion
okay, let's hear it.
What these rappers have done with the N word. We grew up and we don't play that. Now I don't use the N word even playing with folks. I don't call people the N word at all. But
right.
here's the subversiveness of these young guys with this hip hop music is that you hear white folks call each other nigga. Cool or not cool. What I'm suggesting is that these guys have taken over. And the main thing that I like about hip hop artists, the rougher the better, the reason I love them so much is because they are not going to be told how they are going to express themselves. I'm going to be me whether you like it or not. And you're going to pay me $7 a year to do it. Straight up.
Well, give me some records I won't be buying, you know, and they can kiss my ass on. I'm not going to sit up there and listen to that self-degenerative bullshit. Come on now. Tell you what. Here's what I would do.
Well, if you're not into rap music, that means you're not really listening to the lyrics. So the lyrics really say a lot. Like, my favorite rapper is Ice Cube. You listen to some of Ice Cube's lyrics, especially some of his older stuff. I can't even remember the name of his album. The album from '93, The End You Love to Hate, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about subversive. I mean, for real though.
But also, too, let me interrupt you here just one second, Gail. Okay, but also, too, we got to mention the one and only Renaissance man, Mr. Tupac Shakur, and on our intro this evening, Revolution of Love, that's his auntie, the one and only Asada Shakur.
Tupac is a Renaissance man.
When you check out from his End of Time, you know, Shed Too Many Tears, you see what I'm saying? Tupac was a Renaissance man. And plus, you know, his parents were members of the BPP.
I think he was more overrated than Tupac Shakur was ahead of his time.
I agree. Dr. King was ahead of his time.
Let's say that I have 700,000 albums, so I know that I music, you know. And when it's coming out with the rap, you know, rappers like, you know, Curtis Blow, you know, things like
right.
that.
Right, the Sugar Hill Gang, 1980.
That's okay. And when it hit the late 80s and early 90s, that's when it was something really bad. That's when things got sour, you know. But
right.
Now, most these hip hop artists now, they have learned how to cut that down a little bit because, you know, it got more offensive as opposed to the music. And the music, most of the music they was using was still from all from the 60s and the 70s, you know.
Okay, Mad Dr. D, hey, man, you're fading in and out.
The music was not original. It wasn't original for a while.
None of it is. It's called sampling. None of the music's original. It's called sampling.
Correct, because if you listen to music now, they still don't have very, very, very little originality. And they capitalized on that very well. Personally, I can't stand it. You know, the original version.
Yeah, right. I agree with you on that, Mad Dr. D. I agree with you. It's because all this shit is about violence. It's about degradation. You see what I'm saying? B.I. this, N.G.R. that. Some of that shit, man. Some cat talking about a dude's mama so bad, I took it personal. I'm like, wow. And they call this shit progress. I mean, that is like saying that if how we change our dress and our tie from going around from wearing suits to nice to iron shirts and whatnot, now these cats is going around trying to crack of their ass with this sagging shit.
All right, guys, see, I got to get off the
is
call.
All twisted. Okay, well, thank you so very, very much for joining us. And we appreciate you there. That is the one and only Gail, our guest host, who will be guest hosting next week on our January 29th show of Homecoming 2019, Journey to Ghana. At 8 p.m. Pacific, Journey to Ghana. And that there will be a two-parter that we'll be doing
three-parter.
Yeah, that would be the third part of the three-part we're doing on Journey to Ghana. But, however, though, we will be doing our normal show at 6 p.m. as well, too. So definitely stay tuned to our like page for the next topic that's coming up on that. And that's the show that's in the same time slot right now, which starts at 6 p.m. Pacific time. But on our special edition for part three of Journey to Ghana, we will be starting that show at 8 p.m. Pacific time, January the 29th. And then that there will be our special edition. Okay, folks, we're down to our last 10 minutes. Anybody got any closing comments or anything that they're trying to market or do for the community, please mention it.
Oh, one last thing before I get off. You can reach me at www.exotictravelarchitect.com. That's www.exotictravelarchitect.com. If you want to change what's happening in our communities, take that journey to Ghana. You can get information at www.exotictravelarchitect.com/tours. Click the button, the tours button, and you will see the drop down that says Journey to Ghana. All the details are there. Get yourself registered, get booked, and we'll see you in Ghana in October 2019. Thank you so much, Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced, and see you guys next week.
Okay, and thank you so very much for joining us, Gail. Okay, and we appreciate your input, and you have a nice night down in Southern California. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, okay. All right, is that what I want to do is mention, check out my page, Chewbacca San Corral, my personal page, is because there's a ride-share opportunity in which I'm involved in. It's on the ground floor. It's going to be very, very quite explosive. Okay, so definitely inbox me there, Chewbacca's Black Experience, or inbox me on my page right there, and I'd be more than happy to give you details about it. And it could revolutionize the ride industry. Okay, so Brother Isaiah, do you got any closing comments and concerns this evening? Yes, sir.
All I got to say is, like, you know me, I really enjoy and love this show. I'm so glad I'm the guest commentator on the show. But I want to say like, we have to, like, we need to come together and start rebuilding.
Yes, sir.
And start recreating. We need to start standing up for ourselves. We need to start teaching our youth about the real deal.
Exactly.
No more of this fake shit. It's time to start doing it and stop talking about it. Time to start doing it.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah, it's definitely just time to start doing some implementation on that, and you're absolutely right on that there, Brother Isaiah. You're absolutely correct. Okay, to our associate producer, the one and only Ms. DeMacy, do you got any closing comments?
Well, I agree with Isaiah's closing comment, and hopefully we can talk about that on the show soon.
No, absolutely, yeah, because now it's time to start getting busy, you know what I'm saying? Because anybody could sit around and talk. It's starting about doing some implementation and some observation and participation like our ancestors had told us there 50 years ago. So we most definitely appreciate the input from our associate producer, the only one, Ms. DeMacy. Okay, and also, too, Brother Robert S., do you got any closing comments tonight, sir, before we close it out tonight?
Okay.
All right. Okay, moving right along. Okay. All right, man. Dr. D, yeah, we're getting ready to close it out tonight. You got any closing comments?
Well, I'd like to say this once again. This was a very, very entertaining and show. There's a lot, we pass a lot of knowledge back and forth, which is a good thing. And I'm glad you're calling in. You know, I am the man, Dr. D. And also, in the near future, which I mentioned before, that I'm going to have we're going to have a show, it's simply for music. So we can call in and we can have a little, you know, you can call in your music and, we're going to, you know, we're going to expand our horizons. And as far as, so I want you guys to stay tuned for that. I'll give you details at a later date. And if you want to contact me, I am the man Dr. P. You can contact, you know, I just talked to Shabaka Shakur, and he can actually get in contact with me. And also, I'm working on some real estate ideas right now.
Okay.
I'm trying to work on some apartment complex. I'm trying to find a couple of good ones. I'd like to get some of these people, homeless people, out the streets. You know.
Absolutely.
So hopefully I can at least help some families. You know.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about. We got to take care of each other. You know.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt, Dr. D.
So, you know,
it's time to stop talking and stop doing something like that. Don't talk about it. Yeah. Yes, sir. And, I'll give you a call later on. I'm going to go ahead and close out anybody. Again, it was a wonderful show. And thank you very much for that, for input and everything. Okay, man. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. And I'll be speaking to you later on. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that there concludes our show tonight. This is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Our air date, January the 22nd, 2019. We come on every Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Our phone number to call us in is at 646-564-9630. Definitely check our like page on Facebook, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Also, too, you can follow us on Twitter at Shabaka capital EXP, and that's Shabaka capital EXP, and that there's our handle over there on Twitter. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so very, very much for participating. And we're going to end our show tonight with a classic from the year 1965 by the one and only Mr. Wes Montgomery, Bumping on Sunset.